Hi, this is CK Love, and you're listening to Midlife on Fire. I was watching Arnold Schwarzenegger's limited series, I guess, documentary about his life. And you could tell he's a Republican. And the reason why I say this is because he has that mentality of picking yourself up by your bootstraps. And a lot of conservatives like to kind of tote that line or spew that at people who seem who are actually less fortunate than they are. And I cry bullshit. As much as I find Arnie entertaining, I find him very opinionated, kind of, I mean, his life was his life, right? And I didn't watch to the end because it's a bit annoying. But I did watch enough to know that to know what he's about, and his luck. He attributes to his drive and motivation and his personality and his work ethic and all that stuff. And I find that pretty arrogant. Being a woman in midlife, kind of teetering over the edge almost, but still being a woman in midlife. I've lived long enough to know when you hear people like Arnie say stuff like that it comes from a deep misunderstanding of life, like a really deep misunderstanding of life. You watch him during his and it's on the only episode. I think I was halfway through the second episode, but the first episode is all about his Mr. Universe training or whatever it is. And so, being a woman in midlife, I've been through a lot, because of my upbringing. Arnie went through a lot because of his upbringing. His father pitted him against his brother, so on and so forth, made him competitive. Did it? Maybe. Sure. We are part of nurture. Part of our makeup is about nurture. And I was pitted against my sister, but in a different way, because Arnie's father made them do things together in competition. My father made me watch my sister do things. I couldn't touch anything at all. I mean, really, at all. Just let that sink in. Let it sink in that as a child, you sit and are told to sit and watch your siblings do things, and you're not allowed to touch anything. So, as well. I have a body that I completely understand now because I've been doing yoga since 19, even mentioning the word 19 is the number 19 is enough to tell you that I've been doing it for a very, very long time. And I taught for a very long time. I still teach a little bit. It's difficult, but I still do. But I made it a point because I was in pain a lot, and I thought I was in pain in my body because mostly of being hit, beaten as a child. But it was because I was told with a flick of the hand and a dismissal that I had scoliosis. And I have scoliosis in a part of my spine, the lower part of my spine, where you actually don't notice it a lot to the naked eye. But it is the thing that that gave me knee pain when I was 16 years old, so I had to stop running. It gave me, had to make me adjust things. It gave me shoulder pain. Oh my God. It gave me such bad pain. And I was laughed at by doctors. So I had to find my own answers. And what I found was this wonderful, wonderful chiropractor who did, a combination of Asian traditions as well as Western traditions, like Eastern traditions as well as Western traditions, not acupuncture, but the senior cranial, sacral cranial, cranial stuff. But he and I worked together on my body, and I did an X-ray once, and he said that, did you know that your crack, that your crease, not your crack, that your crease was an inch away from center? And I said, crease? What's a crease? And of course, it was the crack of my ass, and it was an inch away from center as I stood, what I thought and what he saw as pretty straight. So that told me a lot. So when I went back to my yoga practice, I adjusted that crease to be centered by finding the nuances of movement in my hips in order to lay flat. Oh my God, how fantastic it feels to actually be able to lay flat, and not have a twist in your hips. It's just so relieving. But of course, my hips always go back to it because you can't, unfortunately, no matter how I tried, you can't fix that. So you're always readjusting. And so my readjusting became a meditation with breath and movement. And I was able to actually go deeper into my practice, go deeper into my postures, and of course, go deeper into my body because of my understanding. That's just one part of it, my physicality. The other thing that we're learning now is, or hormones, if I worked out too much, too strenuously, because I wanted to get there. I learned that I had to pull back because, even yoga, the strenuous yoga, the Ashtanga yoga, I loved it so much. I had to pull back from it, not stop practicing it, just learning how to move my body in such a way that didn't exhaust my body, exhaust my hormones, because my hormones actually are the kind of, I have whatever it is about hormones that really affects cortisol, and I gain weight. And no matter how much I work out, I gain weight, especially in my perimenopause into menopause, because it was just about the cortisol levels, and I was exhausting my adrenal glands that I didn't know about. So anyway, what I wanted to get at and get back to is Arnold, that he attributes, like I said, he attributes his success with how he pushed himself and how he pushed his training and how he pushed his this and how he pushed his that. And I will tell you that that means he thinks everybody else didn't push as hard as him. He thinks that everybody else didn't work as hard as him. He thinks everybody else is a freaking loser. And what I'm saying is that he doesn't recognize how lucky he is to have the body he does that responds to the kind of pushing he does without compromising hormone levels, without compromising adrenal systems, without compromising. He could push himself that way. His body responded to the work that he did. his competitive nature was bolstered by the pushing that his father did. So his competitive nature, what he had naturally, whether it was genetically, whether it was the shift in the nuance of who he was as a person, because we are not always the same, even though we have the same genetics, we're not the same. Our siblings aren't the same. I mean, his brother was different than him. His father was different than him. He was different than his father, even though the genetics were relatively the same. His mother, relatively the same. So, you know, his not realizing that luck plays a huge part in our lives really makes you hard towards people who have it rough, you know, makes you hard towards people who have had to make compromises or have had to or have pushed that hard. I mean, he trained people, you know, he trained people. So then if he trained people who didn't excel as much as he did, was he a bad trainer? No. It was just that those people, their bodies, their minds, their organisms only had so much capacity for excelling in that particular way. And I think that that's the thing that needs to be learned as we get older. And if you are you know, if you value the heart over the head, then the thing that will happen is compassion. If you recognize that people might not have the same opportunities that you did, whether things fell into your lap, because they seem to, for Arnie, you know, they seem to fall into his lap, or whether, you know, you had a plan, and that plan went flawlessly, and not only did it go flawlessly to the letter, but everything and everybody in the plan that you made responded in the way that you planned it to do, to be, to respond in that way. I don't know how much control we have over that. I don't think we do. I don't think that, you know, hanging around with conservatives helped Arnie. Maybe it did. I don't know. I think Arnie just understood you know, it's funny because I'm pretty sure that that people like him think that it's mind over matter. And in fact, it's matter over mind. Yeah, maybe I won't use that. I don't know. I tried it out. What? Sue me. So, you know, maybe it's not mind over matter, but it's heart over mind, and or spirit over mind, or intuitive nature over mind. And so maybe in some people, the intuitive nature to follow whatever it is that you are supposed to be doing, because to a certain degree, I do believe that things are laid out and we have to learn to listen and not fight the fate. You know, not everybody can be a Napoleon. You know, everybody that, I don't know where I heard this, but there was a meeting of, it was Ricky Gervais. Apparently there's a club of past lives people, people who believe they've had past lives. And I think that, not that I do or not that I don't. And what happened was, is that they had a party and two Napoleons showed up. I mean, that was Very funny. But that's the thing, right? Is that you know, it's not that kind of, not everybody can be a Napoleon. That's what I was wanting to say. Not everybody can be a Napoleon. So I, you know, that intuitive nature that comes with, I mean, it does come with experience, it does come with age, it does come with practice, it does come with therapy, does come with, you know, practice meaning, you know, meditation, getting out of your own way. And I think that some people aren't aware of how lucky they are. They are not aware of how lucky they are. And I don't know how I feel about that. I think I feel kind of, well, my mind is not confused. It's not dumbfounded. Insulted. I mean, you know, people who don't know how lucky they are do us no favors. You know, the people who work really, really hard, all of you out there who work really, really, really hard, and sometimes things just don't click, and sometimes things just don't measure up, just don't come to fruition. And for whatever reason, you know, whether the follow through was short, whether the commitment wasn't really there, whether the impetus to do it was more about proving something rather than having a good, solid feeling around something, or whether it was just not the time, not the place, not you. And I think that we have to recognize as we get more and more, as we get into our midlife, that our experience should teach us to listen to ourselves carefully, honestly, thoroughly. Really, really listen, sit and listen. And because of expectations, because things don't always come out the way we think they should. And so to minimize expectations is not about then not having a plan or having dreams. You know, dreaming is good. Dreaming is good. Having a plan is good. But also being flexible in the way that, especially in the way that it affects you if things don't turn out the way you thought they would. Because that's the great disappointment in our lives, in human life, is the expectations that are dashed. So find the joy in the not only the doing, because doing is busy, you know, finding the joy in the watching things unfold, letting things unfold, letting things surprise you, maybe, you know, letting life surprise you. And never, to me, never look at someone who has not had the same opportunities or the same luck as you or others. Never look at them, you know, in a way that takes their humanity away. I don't think that that's a good thing. Recognize each other's hearts. Anyway. Just want to talk about that. And what ha that has to do with midlife is about that in this stage, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, there should be, to me, has to be some unraveling in order to grow. You know how when you take a branch or a stem from a rose and you have to snip the end in order to let the roots grow? You know, you have to splice it. You have to, you know, kind of wreck it before it grows again. I think that's what we have to do. And, you know, people who have had that luck, it's harder because they don't want to let go of that big house and those fancy cars and fancy life. They don't want to let go of that. So I don't find those people inspiring at all, you know? And that's why this podcast is all about the splicing. It's all about the regeneration. It's all about finding a different way in order to grow. Yeah, that's what it's about. And like always, it's about going out and being a badass. So, thanks for listening. Thank you, as always, for listening. You know, I'm open to talking to you or reading a story that you've written, 3 pages, most length, you know, so that you could just write something that you haven't spoken about in your life, and that it's kind of like a purging, and then I can read it out loud online on here, without mentioning your name if you don't want to. And that's for the segment called Midlife at Midnight or something like that. Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Go now. Be a badass. Now I'm electric coffee.